Bearing fruit should be the goal of every Christian. How do we become a consistent fruit bearer? Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Those who hear the word of God and understand it, it means that they're living by the wisdom of God's word. They're applying the word in their life. And these are the ones Jesus said will bear fruit. They're not guided by their feelings like the stony saints. They're not guided by circumstances and situations like the choked off saints. But they're trusting totally in the word of God. They understand it and they apply it to their lives.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Think about your friends for a moment. Can you truly count on them, even through the tough times? The Thessalonians knew they could count on Paul, and that's what we're going to see today as we continue our ongoing study of 1 Thessalonians, here on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. This message was recorded at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you have a Bible handy and can turn to 1 Thessalonians, do so now as we join Pastor Al in Chapter 3 with what it really means to be a friend.
One of the best defenses we can have against the lies of the devil is to be fruitful. To continue on a trajectory of fruitfulness in our lives as believers. Paul understood that something that I guess we all struggle with from time to time, that sometimes the devil's lies can be very seductive, especially when you're going through a time of trials or persecution. You know, the devil, he can not rob us of our salvation. I know some people think, well, you can lose your salvation. I don't find that being taught in Scripture. Number one, because God doesn't lose things that he keeps. And he keeps us by the power of God, not by the power of Al Pittman. Amen. And no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand, Jesus said. So the devil cannot rob us of our salvation, but he can spoil your fruit. He can keep you from being fruitful. Many believers start well, but we often hear that there are many believers as well who do not finish well. God wants us to finish well. The way to finish well is to be fruitful. Now, at this particular time in our text, we're going to get into it here in just a moment. In our text, Paul is in Athens. He's in the city of Athens, and it was known as the ancient country of Achaia, but it was now today is called Greece. But he was in Athens, Greece, and he was there. And the Bible says that the city of Athens was given over to idols, Acts chapter 17, verse 16. And I think the rampant idolatry of Athens was instrumental, probably instrumental, in Paul's all of a sudden urgent request to know the status of that young Christian church in Thessalonica. And so he sends Timothy to investigate. Our text is broken down. We're going to look at our text, the whole chapter, in three sections. The first section has to do with Paul's concern. And we begin reading here in verses 1 to 5. And we see Paul's concern here in verses 1 to 5. You'll read along with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and set Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, verse 5, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to you, sent to know rather your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. The first thing that Paul does here, he wants to let the church in Thessalonica know that this Timothy coming to them is qualified. He says, Timothy, he's our brother. He is a minister of the gospel and a fellow laborer in the gospel. And we're not just sending you somebody that's just kind of a looky-loo or whatever, someone who's, you know, kind of wet behind the ears. We're sending you someone who's qualified to inspect your faith. And so he wanted to put their minds at ease in regard to Timothy. Timothy had a twofold mission. Number one, to establish the church, The word established there, he says in the latter part of verse 2, that he has come to you to establish you. That word established in the Greek is the Greek words derizo, and it means to make stable, to place firmly, or to strengthen. That's why Timothy was going, to establish them, to strengthen them in the Lord. The second reason he was going to was to comfort them or to encourage them. And the word encourage there actually means comfort, the Greek word parakaleo. It means comfort. He was going to establish them, number one, and number two, he was going to comfort them. What a great example for us in the church, why we should be here this morning, to establish and to comfort one another. Amen? And that is exactly what a pastor ought to be doing when he's teaching the word of God. Doesn't mean he's not going to say things you may not like, but he's there to establish you, amen, and he's there to comfort you in the Lord. These two acts of benevolence, I call them, serve as a sort of a dual anchor to the stability of Christian fellowship. When we're more focused on establishing each other in the Lord and more focused on encouraging each other in the Lord, we spend a lot less time devouring each other in the Lord, amen. So this is a great example for us to follow. But Paul, he sought to fortify the church there in Thessalonica against what I call shaky faith. This shaky faith. Because he says here in verse 3, he says that no one should be shaken. That word shaken in Greek, it really, literally means to be unsettled. But it speaks of that metaphorically of like a dog wagging its tail, going back and forth, back and forth. And sometimes some believers, their faith looks like that, like a dog wagging its tail. Between unbelief and faith. Between the world and Jesus Christ. Going back and forth. God doesn't want us to live with a faith that is unstable. He doesn't want us to settle for a faith of vacillation, going back and forth all the time. But to find our hope, not that you don't have doubts sometimes, not that you don't have fears sometimes, but I'm continually resting and trusting in the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us he doesn't want us to act like wagging tails. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Amen. And you shall be above only and not be beneath if, here's the condition, you heed the word, the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Our stability as believers, the anchor of our soul really, is really founded upon the word of God, our faith in Jesus Christ. But our day-to-day life should be anchored in the word of God, or we will end up with shaky faith. Because the tempter wants to destabilize your walk with the Lord. And Paul was concerned in verse 5. He said, unless, you know, I don't want the tempter to tempt you. You know, I'm checking on you because I'm concerned that the tempter may have tempted you. Like I said, the lies of the enemy are sometimes really tantalizing when we're going through a trial or persecution in our lives. We have to be careful and remain anchored in the word if we're going to be fruitful in the Lord. That word tempter is interesting because it can be translated, speaking of the devil, from the Greek word, parazo, it can be translated scrutinize. And isn't that what the devil does? He scrutinizes. He combs over your life and he finds weaknesses and flaws and he points them out to you and say to convince you this is why you can't do what you need to do and all of this. He discourages you. You know, he brings up your past and all this. He scrutinizes. That's exactly what he does. He perpetuates negativity, constantly pointing out our weaknesses and flaws and the weaknesses and flaws of others. Isn't it amazing how that happens? How we can see the flaws of others so clearly. But when it comes to us, it's like, what? Right? But what did Jesus say about that? Get the beam out your own eye. So you can see to get the splinter out of your brother's eye. Amen? So it's important for us to remember that attack of the enemy pointing out the flaws of other people. God hasn't given you the gift of discernment. You're just scrutinizing with the devil. Amen? Get the beam out your own eye. But the devil's always scrutinizing. He's always telling us, you know, discouraging us. He perpetuates negativity all the time. Negative, putting you down, you feeling down and all of this. I was reading a reminder of the scripture in Genesis chapter 3 where, of course, Adam and Eve had sinned against the Lord. They were hiding out, sowing fig leaves for themselves to hide their nakedness. And God comes into the garden and he knows what's going on. But he says, Adam, where are you? Amen. Sometimes God asks you questions because he knows where you're at, but he wants you to discover where you're at. Amen. where are you? And Adam said, Lord, when I heard your voice, I was afraid when I heard your voice because I'm naked. And God says to Adam, who told you? Who told you you were naked? I mean, just wow, who told you that? Now listen, Adam and Eve had been naked all along and just doing just good, walking around. No condemnation, free fellowshipping with God. And then all of a sudden they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all of a sudden, oh, I'm naked. And the devil who tempted, this is how he works, who tempted them into doing it is the first one to condemn them when they come out of it. And so he's scrutinizing them and condemning them. And now they're hiding and they cannot, listen to this, they cannot respond to the word of God that they heard.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. On behalf of Pastor Al, I want to thank you for your support of this radio outreach. I don't mean just financially, also in your prayer time. Please continue to pray that the Word of God would become real in the lives of those who hear the messages Pastor Al shares. You can also bless us by telling a friend about The Dwelling Place and inviting them to listen. And don't forget to visit our website and keep up with everything going on at Calvary Worship Center. Our web address is cwccs.org. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message titled, The Path of Fruitfulness.
For many believers, sometimes we are so beat up, condemned by the enemy. God, I heard your voice. I heard what Pastor Al said, but I'm so beat up. I'm afraid. I'm naked because I'm so flawed. And God says, who told you? Who told you that? And for some of us here today, Lord may be saying, who told you were hopeless? Who told you were a victim? Who told you couldn't do it? Who told you that you couldn't make it? Who told you were defeated? You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved you. Amen? Stop listening to the scrutiny of the enemy. Repent of your vacillation and live your life according to the declaration that God has spoken over your life according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. How many times have we listened to the devil put us down and agree with it? And Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Victory, fruitfulness begins in your life when you repent of your vacillation, wagging, living a faith like a dog wagging its tail, and you choose to believe God's declaration according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the latter part of verse 3 and 4, it is evident that Paul did not want them to be discouraged by the news of his own tribulations. And Paul said, you know what, you guys don't be discouraged because you hear me going through stuff. I mean, they're probably discouraged because they thought, well, Paul came and shared the gospel with us, and now we hear about how his life is all jacked up, you know, and how he's going through all this tribulation. They were becoming discouraged. Paul said, listen, don't be discouraged. Listen, I told you before this was going to happen, that we're going to face tribulation. Verse 4, he says, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation. Well, don't be discouraged. We told you it was going to happen. He says, you know what? I was appointed to this. I was appointed to this. Verse 3, the latter part of verse 3, he says, for you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. To what? To the tribulation that they're going through. That word appointed is interesting. It is the Greek word kaimai, and it speaks of an infant or of one who was buried. Thought that was interesting. Speaks of an infant or one who was buried. In other words, God had made an appointment for Paul that it was impossible for him in the flesh to keep. And the only way he could keep that appointment is to be like a child, an infant, utterly dependent upon God, and to die to himself, to be like a man buried in the grave. There's no way that he could have kept that appointment. God, he said, I'm appointed to this. I believe the Lord has appointed each and every one of us to a certain office in life. your family or your job or whatever it is. He's appointed you there. And when times get rough, sometimes we want to take off, but sometimes we need to realize God has made this appointment. God will make appointments for you that your flesh does not want to keep. Amen. You look on your book and you go, oh, I got an easy day. And God has, no, we got you scheduled. We got you down here for, and you know, you can't make that appointment unless two things happen. Apart from faith, utter dependence upon the Lord like an infant. God, I can't do it. I need your help. Or apart from a funeral, death to yourself. There's no way you can be fruitful unless you're willing to utterly depend upon God and to die to yourself. There's no way that we can bear fruit. Oh, I want to bear fruit to the Lord. Well, you need faith in a funeral. Amen. Oh, I don't know about that. Well, that's what Paul says. Not only here is it implied, but also Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice is? Completely dead. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It is our reasonable service. Reasonable. The least we can do as disciples of Jesus is to be utterly dependent upon God and dead to ourselves. And if we are not willing to do that, you can forget trying to bear fruit to the glory of God. Paul said, I was appointed to this. I was appointed to this. And we also are appointed in the Lord to bring glory and fruit. Fruitfulness, bear fruit to his glory, I should say. In verse 5, notice Paul, he says, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to you. And he was concerned about the tempter. And then he says the latter part of verse 5. He says, and he was concerned that our labor might not be in vain. In other words, he was concerned about his labor, not about their salvation. He wasn't concerned that they would lose their salvation. And then, of course, verse 4 of chapter 1 tells us, Paul says of the Thessalonians, he says, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. You're elected in God. I'm not concerned that you're going to lose your salvation, but I'm concerned that that we may have labored in vain among you. His concern is about fruitfulness. God's concern is about fruitfulness in our lives. The Lord wants us to bear fruit. One great parable related to fruitfulness in a believer's life, Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 13. If you'll turn there with me, Matthew chapter 13. It's a parable about fruitfulness. He talks about the parable of the sower, the story, parable, story of the sower, sowing the seed. And where some of the seed landed, and Jesus used it as a story to illustrate, you know, what it means to be fruitful in him. And so he explains this story, and then, of course, in verses 3 to 9 in Matthew chapter 13, he tells the parable, and then he explains it further in beginning here at verse 18 to 23. And I'm going to read verses 18 and 23. It's not that many verses, and so we get the explanation that the Lord has given to us. He says in verse 18, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one is also the birds related in verse 4 that come down. The wicked one, which is the devil, a.k.a. the birds, not the band, but the devil. Amen. Only baby boomers get that. So let me move on. But he said, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. I believe this first group, there's four groups here. This is the first group, the waysiders, if you will, are unbelievers. They hear the word, but they don't understand it. And the devil, like a bird, comes down and picks up the seed before it can germinate. And so people, you bring them to church and they're sitting there and all this, and God is ministering to their heart and that word is coming out and they're hearing the word. And just, you know, when they're getting ready to maybe make a decision for Christ, the devil will give them a convenient excuse. He's come to kill, steal, and to destroy the seed in the lives of others. That's why I believe he's talking about non-believers there, those who do not know Christ. But the next three groups, I think he's talking about believers. So in verse 20, he says, but he who received, they received the word, the seed, on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Whoa. Came forward at altar call. And yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, amen, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Jesus is talking about fruit. Paul's concern for the church in Thessalonica was about fruit, fruitfulness in their lives. Verse 23, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. They didn't just come to hear a good sermon, they came to apply it, to understand it, Jesus said, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. Now, there's three groups of believers that I find here. I think three groups of believers that you can find in any church service. Because there are people there with stony hearts. The stony saints. Amen. These are the emotional saints. They receive the word with joy. Oh, woo, hoo, hoo. You know, maybe came forward in a service, but they bear no fruit because they have no roots. And then a person that's always learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth because they're living by their emotions, by their feelings and not faith. And then you have the choking saints, I call them. I know you may have coughed this morning. It's not because you've choked. You're one of these choking saints. But the choking saints are those who are choked off. The word's choked off in their life because they're watching too much CNN and Fox News. They're so caught up with the concerns of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that they have no faith in God's word. It's all about circumstance and situations. And then there's the other group that is in any congregation, the good soil. Those who hear the word of God and understand it. Now, what does it mean to understand? It means that they're living by the wisdom of God's word. They're applying the word in their life. And these are the ones Jesus said will bear fruit. They're not guided by their feelings like the stony saints. They're not guided by circumstances and situations like the choked off saints. But they're trusting totally in the word of God. They understand it and they apply it to their lives.
You're tuned in to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, Senior Pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. You'll find a link for a free download at our website, cwccs.org. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com, and I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Did you know that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported ministry? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. You can also watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.